This episode of MMA Nuts is brought to you by
Tire Buyer. Buy tires online, get them shipped for free to an installer of your choice. Save 10% off with code MMA10. Bulletproof Coffee. Power your mind, fuel your body, and unleash your limitless potential. Save 20% off with code BPMMA20. Nectar Sleep, the last mattress you'll ever need. Get free sheets, mattress protector, and pillow with code GWFIT25. Magic Spoon, healthy cereal that tastes too good to be true. Get free shipping with code YWHMAGIC. Defense Soap, everyday soaps for everybody. Use code MMANUTS to save 15% off your order.
Hey fans, this is MMA Nuts, episode 563.
563!
My name is Ego Weigel.
I'm Matt Gravett. I'm on a show by my fans, for my fans. We walk the line between serious and ridiculous. I'm fucking going crazy over here.
You are.
Make a drink. What's happening?
You know, everything's all good, man. Life is good. What can I say?
Happening when bodies start slapping in.
Can't complain.
That's right. How's the weather out here in the fucking Chicagoland area?
It's spring-like. It's a little warmish and then really cold at night still.
It's fucking bullshit at night. I mean, it's been, we've had a couple nights where it like hasn't 48. Been terrible. Yeah.
48, it's an improvement. 60,
yeah. And I think once we get past a few more days, we're going to start getting some consistent weather, at least during the day. You know, that's all I can ask for. A little bit nicer.
Hey, the Bulls are out of the playoffs. They got smoked by the Bucks. It was not good.
Did you watch any of it?
Or? Some of it. I mean, I don't know what happened. We played well throughout the season at points, but couldn't pull it together in the playoffs.
Yeah, see, that's a problem. That's where you need it.
Point. Yeah.
Regular season's bullshit until you get to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't watch a game. I haven't watched any basketball. I've just been watching all the, like, what are the Blackhawks doing? What are the Bears doing? And it's always hard to tell with a draft. Everyone's like, oh, the Bears fucked up and the Bears did great. Like, you can't really tell until the season's over. I'm like, they're doing what they can. They've made a lot of picks. We'll see what happens.
Yep.
New coach, new GM for both fucking teams. So we'll see what happens.
We will see. There was also a UFC over the weekend. Do you want to talk about it? Or no?
Yes, I do. Okay. One fight. How about Andre Arlovsky getting the split decision win? And you got to love it when they announce the judges' scores and the guy he's fighting gets 30-27 in his favor. And then Arlovsky gets 29-28 in his favor. And I think he's on like a 4-fight win streak right now. But I want to bring out his interview with Michael Bisping afterwards in the Octagon, and hopefully we don't get fired for this or they pull us down, but we'll share this because you gotta like that Arlovsky.
That your chin kind of had gone, but tonight you took a lot of shots and fired straight back.
Looks like he's in good shape.
Straight you when people say that.
Not anymore. It sounds good. I have money to buy chewing gum and I'm chewing gum every fucking day.
I think that's what life is about. I'm chewing gum every fucking day. I got money. I buy chewing gum.
He was kind of upset with himself because one of the judges had scored a 30-27 for Collier, right?
And yeah, that makes zero sense. It can't be 100% one guy and then two other guys are like, no, it's fucking 29-28. And that's happened. We've heard that and seen that before a handful of times. Yeah. It's so fucked up. So whoever scores it 30-27 the wrong way needs to be fucking fired. And they never do, unfortunately.
No, they don't. But good for him. He's 43, still fighting. You know?
Yeah, that's crazy. Like how much more left does he have to take at this point? Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, he said after the, I think in the one of the interviews post on the press conference that he still thinks he has a small window, a small period of time. He says, just like any other guy, I can do it. You got to do it. I just have to do what I have to do. So still confident.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know where he ranks in the heavyweight division as far as it just seems like they just throw him out now. And he's still probably making bank. He's probably making at heavyweight. He's probably the highest paid fighter
I would venture to say.
Yeah.
Because, and it's unfortunate because you can't see a lot of these states are not publishing what fighters are making anymore. So it kind of sucks.
It does.
You just have to speculate and say he probably made bank.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's talk about the big one that's coming up this fucking weekend. We got UFC 274. This is probably the best fight card in the last, I don't know, 3 years. Cause it's, I don't know. It's going to fuck your mother. That's what I'm going to say. This card's going to fuck your mother, guys.
There it
is. That's how good it is. Got Charles Oliveira, Justin Gaethje. I'm going to skip the next fight because it's bullshit. You got Michael Chandler, Tony Ferguson, fucking Shogun, OSP, Donald Cowboy Cerrone, Joe Lozon.
I'm excited for that one. That's going to be
good. Rose Namajunas versus Carla Esparza too.
Yes.
Let's see. Pull up the undercard. I didn't even take a look yet. The prelims and all that shit.
We got like...
Okay, what's the early prelims?
Matt Schnell. You know, he's been around.
Matt Schnell does not smell.
It's pretty much nothing else. I mean,
yeah, it's the main card. That's what it's all about.
They top loaded this sucker.
Fucking main card.
They put it all the way up front, which is fine. So I'm
goddamn
okay
right. So. You have the problem is you have my favorite fighter. We'll start with the main event: Justin Gaethje, Charles Oliveira. So again, right now, currently, Justin Gaethje, my fucking favorite fighter. He's my spirit animal. Goddamn it, that's how I want to go out. Like this motherfucker. It's kill or be killed. And Gaethje, he's coming off a decision win over Chandler in November of 2021. He's won 5 of his last 6. He lost that title shot to Nurmagomedov by triangle. I mean, that's a tough fight.
Yeah.
And Oliveira on a 10-fight win streak. And I like this quote from Justin Gaethje that I'm going to share. Let's pull this up here. So he says, I've got to stay out of grappling positions, obviously, but I'm going to put a hole right in fucking Charles's face. It's going to be glorious. I'm going to be perfect, and I'm going to be perfect for 25 minutes. If he can beat me, then kudos to him, but he's going to have to walk through hell like Khabib did. And I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate the hell walking because it's no joke. Depends how disciplined Gaethje is because you've seen him at times when he's on point. Like, look at the Tony Ferguson fight and the amount of fucking punishment he put on him. And I believe it was the 4th round when he just hit him with a jab and just discombobulated Ferguson for the fight. The ref's like, motherfucker, tap it out. This fight's fucking over. But I think this is probably like a 60-40 fight where I favor Gaethje to 60 to Oliveira's 40. I love Gaethje with the leg kicks and his reckless abandon. And I look at Oliveira. He's very hittable. He gets hit a lot. He gets dropped a lot. But
he does.
Say my concern also with Gaethje is he can get gassed out if he doesn't pace himself right. Mm-hmm. So there's that window of opportunity of you want to be a dynamic and an entertaining fighter, but you need to be cautious with the amount of cardio you're putting out. And say you drop Oliveira, do you necessarily want to go to the ground with him and play fucking footsies? Not so much.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of might want to make him like get back up. And Oliveira has improved his stand up so much too, but it's not a cakewalk, but I think he's hittable. And I think the leg kicks, and I'll just say I like Gaethje, and I'm going to take a 2nd round knockout. But I'm not going to be surprised if it goes the other way.
Whoa. Okay.
But I also say this. Anybody that fights Justin Gaethje is not the same fighter after that.
True story. But I got to ride with this 10-fight win streak. I mean,
I know, it's tough.
He's run through Chandler, Ferguson, Kevin Lee. I mean, Jim Miller way back. I think Oliveira and Gaethje are going to have an exciting 1st round. This has potential if they come out swinging for fight of the year,
fight of the decade, fight of the millennium.
I think Oliveira submits him at some point late in the 2nd, early 3rd round. I just don't see I don't see Gaethje having enough cardio to push the pace like what Oliveira can push. I just don't see it.
I don't know. I just saw him on the UFC. I don't know what it was. The embedded, the first one. Yeah, he just beat his time. He ran like 14 minutes and 30 seconds of like some hill there running, or take it back, some mountain at Red Rock, Colorado.
Oh, nice.
Beat his time by like a minute. He's like, fuck, now I set a new record and I'm going to have to beat it the next time I run.
Oh, no.
So cardio's on point, hopefully.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. Because I think they said, where is this fucking happening? Arizona or something crazy?
Yeah, Footprint Center in Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah, kind of odd, but whatever.
No, why not?
So you're taking Gaethje, what round?
No, I'm taking Oliveira.
Oh, sorry.
Third round submission.
Okay, fair enough. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens. And then let's skip a couple fights and talk about Michael Chandler versus Tony Ferguson. Because I feel like that fight was put on this card. It's kind of like a backup in case Oliveira or Gaethje gets injured. They can do some kind of an interim title fight. But
well, both guys have lost to Oliveira and Gaethje in their last three fights, and they have five total losses in their last. Actually, only Chandler has a win in his last three fights. I mean, Ferguson is 0-3. This is a lot of losses. So let me just. It's a lot of losses. The good thing is one guy is going to come out a winner in this fight. So
possibly a fucking majority draw and go majority draw.
But that's not a loss. So I'm just saying. So I got to go with Chandler. I think Chandler's had a rough go coming into the UFC here. Like it's not been gone well for him, but this is his moment. I think it's going to happen.
I would hope so. You're fighting Tony, yes. Mr. Compromise Ferguson.
Yes. So I think I got to take him by probably decision. Like, I think it's going to be a war. That's what I'm thinking. Is this a three rounder or a five?
Probably a three round because they have a five and a five before that.
Good point. Okay. So
probably a three round
decision. And I think it's going to be a bloodbath. Somebody's going to get cut up and it's going to be crazy. So.
Yeah. I find it hard to disagree with you because I'm just thinking Ferguson had so many years taken off his life from that Justin Gaethje fight. And then he lost, I think, two more fights after that. Fuck, I don't remember, but it's just you can't have that kind of war and be able to fucking continue to fight at a high level. He's just, it's not going to be there anymore. And I'm so unfortunate because he was right there. He was like vying for a Khabib, and everyone was like, oh, what the fuck would have happened? Who knows? It never happened, never will. So I gotta think Chandler is just gonna beat the brakes off of Ferguson. And the problem is Ferguson is so tough that he's probably going to survive three rounds, but it's just not going to be competitive. I've seen no way of this being competitive. And if I'm wrong, that's great. I would love to be wrong, but here's another guy, Chandler. He's willing to just throw it all out there and fuck you up for three rounds or whatever.
Yeah.
So I'll agree. I think Chandler by decision, but if Ferguson makes it, it's going to be a brutal beating that he's going to take. Where do you want to go next? Which fight?
Well, let's keep the trend of losses going because I would like to talk about Donald Cerrone.
Sure.
Versus Joe Lauzon, because I'm looking, Cerrone's like 0-6 or something in his last six. Right.
That doesn't matter.
And Joe Lauzon is like 1-3 in his last four. So I'm very excited about this fight, but I don't know why. Can you tell me why I'm excited?
Because it's old school guys that have been around forever. Yeah. And this is the kind of matchup you should make for old school guys. Cause this deviates from what the UFC typically does. Cause they like to just springboard young and upcoming buck off of the new guys or the old guys back, which is bullshit. So this is almost, it feels like a retirement fight. Like we should just fucking bang it out and retire, win or lose. So I would say Donald Cerrone for the win.
He's got to go out with a win. I think I'm going to be with you. I want to root for him too. I think this could go either way. He's been knocked out like four times in the last six fights. So
yeah, but if I say Lauzon's boxing versus Cowboy is Muay Thai. I think Cowboy has got the striking advantage. And the ground, it's not like Cerrone is bad. I think it's probably comparable. I mean, Lozon should be better and should have maybe more cardio, but Lozon can take a beating, and I feel he will take a beating.
Yeah.
I don't know if it goes – I feel like it's a decision because maybe Cerrone will I don't like to say someone's going to pull some off their punches, but when you're ahead and you're fighting someone who's been around in the sport probably just as long as you, you don't need to fucking punch it out. And I think back to Jose Aldo versus Uriah Faber when he was just leg kicking the fuck out of him.
Oh yeah.
And he could have in the fifth round, he could have kept doing the leg kicks, but he's like, I don't need to do that. I don't need to punish him for another fucking round. I feel like that's the kind of fight you're going to get here. So take a Cerrone decision.
Okay.
I don't want to talk about Shogun OSP because I feel like that fight is just fine. Fucking disrespectful.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Rose Namajunas versus Carla Esparza too.
Yeah. Who do you got in this one?
Well, Esparza had the win over Rose back on Ultimate Fighter finale.
Long time ago.
2014.
Yes.
And the weirder thing that I heard is that Esparza is getting married a week after this fight.
Oh.
Like that. Do you know how angry Rose is going to be to avenge the loss? She wanted this fight. She has wanted this fight. Are you fucking kidding me? She's going to fuck you up so hard. Your face is going to be a mess. And you're potentially going to have a bunch of cuts. Because if I'm Rose, I'm coming at you so hard. I'm going to fuck you up with elbows and knees and the fucking clinch. I'm going to just fuck you up. You beat me once, which was bullshit. Now I'm going to fuck you up. I'm saying fuck a very lot in this fight.
You are. Here you go. Esparza, Namajunas, you know. I didn't realize Rose was that much taller than her, actually, until I looked at this. She's got like 4 inches.
I could give her 4 inches.
I'm sure you could, Matt. So I can't disagree with you. I've never really liked Carla Esparza in any fashion. You know, she just doesn't.
She's a wrestler. I think she even wore like a fucking wrestling onesie for a fight. I'm like, what the fuck is this? We can do this
she
now?
Did.
It's bullshit. Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm fine with the... whatever happens, really. But I think Rose is going to destroy. She's, I mean, what a crazy thing to have a fight a week before you're going to get married. I think that would be a big distraction. That's another reason I can't pick Esparza, because I just, point. I don't think you can fully focus on what you need to do and still, you know, I just don't
How
think
How could you? Because no. Like, think about leading up to, I'll just parlay it into mine. Like the week before the wedding, there's so much shit going on. There's so many problems happening. There's this thing happening, that thing happening. You're trying to put out fires. You're trying to keep your wife happy. I don't know. And the wife is usually making 90% of the decisions. You're just kind of there for the ride. I'm like, you make all the decisions. I kind of fucking make sure it all happens.
Mm-hmm.
So there's too much going on. So she ain't gonna get fucked up. Let's say round one. Round one, fuck up. I want to see big cuts. Is that wrong? I want to see her face fucked up. That's so wrong.
Nope.
Oh, there's something wrong about that, but we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't have anything else for that card. Do you?
Nope. I'm done.
Bellator, Friday night. Decent card. Ryan Bader, Chuck Congo 2.
Ooh.
I think it was an eye banging in the first time they fought.
That's right.
Poking in the eyeball. And then Yoel Romero was supposed to fight Melvin Manhoef.
Oh.
But Manhoef is out because I think he subdued some carjackers, like three of them, and then fucked up his hands in the process. So he had to pull out like last week. And now Yoel is fighting Alex Polizzi. Oh. I don't know what the fuck
that is. I don't know who that is. Yeah.
But he's fighting. So we'll see what happens. I would have liked to seen him versus Melvin. That would have been a fucking crazy fight. So solid fight. Someone else is fighting on that card, but it looks semi-decent for, like, when you talk about a Bellator and a UFC weekend, pretty fucking solid card.
It's good stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. At least the main events. Like, you don't always have to watch the undercards. So, speaking of undercards, we should talk about our fucking host.
Our sponsor,
Manscaped. Hey, attention, listeners. Are you ready to be blown away? You asked for it and they listened. Our friends at Manscaped had just relaunched the Ultra Smooth Package. It's back, baby. Your new favorite tool and complement to the Lawnmower 4.0 to keep your boys smooth while looking and feeling their best. That's what it's about. Your boys need to be looking and feeling their best. This specialized groin shaving kit is here to help you buff, protect, and shave your most sensitive areas. I thought that was moist. I would like it to say your moist sensitive areas. It's time to crop that bush of yours and get right to the roots with a discount just for you from Manscaped. You can get 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com/MMAnuts.
That's right. The legends who introduced the electric ball hair trimmer are bringing back their razor so you can be set and trimmed front to back. Man, you no longer have to borrow your lady's razor for that precise trim. The crop shaver, it's not your average razor. It's smaller, thicker, with a microcomb bar that allows for the best shave possible from any angle. So, you know, depending beach balls are meant to be smooth, and now yours can be too. It's time to get up close and personal with the best tools for the job, the Ultra Smooth Package from Manscaped.
You can get 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com/MMAnuts. That's 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com/MMAnuts. Smooth out your fellas with the relaunched Ultra Smooth Package from the fellas at Manscaped. Your balls will thank you.
Mm-hmm. So, in the interest of promoting more of these face-off fighting fuckers, there was an event from Hardcore Fighting Championship in Russia over the weekend where another one of these like face-offs turned into a giant brawl. So check this out. Here we go. Hopefully it plays with no audio. It's very loud. Here they are facing off.
Hey, I see this.
Are they facing off? Maybe
yes. Not. This is the same one I was going to show. I love it.
Perfect. Okay.
Go ahead.
Hang on. It's not playing. There it is. Now it's playing. They're facing off. They're just hanging out. Everything's good. Headbutt. Yeah. And bam,
that guy in the green gets fucking raw dealed.
He does. And he comes back to drop a little leg sausage to the side.
Leg sausage? What are you talking about? I like leg sausage. Nostages.
They're still fighting. Look at
what the fuck is going on?
He's like, I'm still mad.
Are these guys like, Secret Service? Is this
I don't
KGB?
Know what's happening. He's hitting that guy. He's going crazy.
He beats me.
Beat me. He's still like, I don't know. At what point is this too much? That's my question. I mean, still going. He's like, Let me go, bro.
Still good. He's got another attack coming. Hang on. This shit ain't over, brother. It's your bombs.
He's like, I'm still in there.
What's with the red mat that says keep off?
I don't know.
Keep off why?
Alembet, HFC. It's a conference. Anyways, so, you know.
You know what this is starting to remind me of? It's the Jerry Springer show of old, but now like the Russian current version. Because they used to just have people on each side of the set, and then they'd both say blah blah, and then they'd come together and like fucking kitty cats, fucking going to town.
Yep.
Now this is Russia's version. I love it. It's kind of awkward, but I've never investigated. Do they actually fight? Because there's more damage being done at these press conferences than I think is legal, and I don't know if they should be fighting. But again, you're in Russia. And I think you can do whatever the fuck you want. I'm just saying. So I saw that.
Okay.
Did you see the fight poster? I'll share this from UFC 275.
No, didn't see it. Let's see. How cool. It's probably
it's different.
Cool. Whoa. Different. It looks like some weird Tarantino film.
Right. That's weird. So you got Teixeira versus Shaka Zulu. Shevchenko versus Santos, Zhang versus Joanna too. Yeah, it's a different style. I think I like it.
I like the GIF on the side. My brain trying to make sense of this mess.
This kid needs to stop moving.
Like, where am I supposed
to look? You're fucking blowing my mind, you little fuck. Stop it. It's
pretty crazy.
With that, did you see BJ Penn was on Joe Rogan podcast?
No, well, I saw that he was, but I didn't actually see it.
I'm not going to watch it because I don't want to get dumber, but I'm dumb enough. I would just want to show the picture of them standing next to each other because they're alleging that BJ Penn is 5'9". And I know that's 100% fucking bullshit because we've met both these guys. And I will say I was shocked at how short they were in person.
BJ Penn is like a little kid.
He was like mini me. He was so tiny. He was the tiniest. He is the guy I think that we've met out of all the UFC fighters that was the smallest and the most shocking meeting them in person. We're like, oh my God, you're like a little dude where I do my little, like, I'm standing up. I'm like, nice to meet you. I feel like I'm going to hurt you if I shake your hand properly.
Yeah, he was very tiny.
So they look the same height. It's 5'5" or go fuck your mother. I'm sorry. They're very short. And Joe was the same when we met him in person. Where he's shockingly small. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? I don't understand TV proportion to real life proportion because it's so off. It's so different.
Well, I think it's okay to be short, like in movies and stuff. It's probably better in some way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you just don't have as much space to take up. I think some actors like stand on stilts and shit. So,
well, look at Henry Cejudo. Like, I've seen so many pictures of that guy standing like on a step stool to do interviews and shit. Mm-hmm. He's got to be like 5'2". I don't know how short he is, but Cejudo? I don't know why people just don't embrace you are who you are. Who gives a fuck? Why lie about your height? Like, you know, why wear like 3-inch heels like to make yourself taller? Like, who gives a fuck? I don't
care. Nothing wrong with no 3-inch heels, Matt. It's all good.
That's right. Or 6-inch heels if you're dirty, like these dirty girls.
Yes.
What else is happening out there?
Well, we got, did you see Lorenzo Hunt squishing a tomato on Joe Riggs's face as bare knuckle fighting 24 weigh-ins over the weekend?
No. That's a little disrespectful.
I would say hopefully this plays. We'll see what happens.
If you're gonna smash something in my face, it better be a caramel apple.
Yes.
And Joe will probably just take it. There is Joe. He's not gonna respond.
Eating his tomato.
Joe's smart enough to save the fight for the fight. Because he was in the ring when he had just fought Hector Lombard at that bare knuckle fighting championship. Mm-hmm. And then some guy came in to challenge Hector. And then Hector's like, fuck this, and throws like a fucking punch and starts swinging away on the other guy. And then Joe is the one breaking them up. Joe's been around the game for a million years. So he gets it. That's fucking disrespect.
Tomato.
It's one thing to jam a tomato in someone else's face, but it's another thing after you've taken a couple bites out of it and then shove your bitten tomato in someone's face.
Yes.
That's not right. It's not right. I'll give you a random Brock Lesnar picture.
Oh, nice. Look at that. He's looking very Viking. Like, good Lord. What is that? A freaking bear?
I don't know. It has no head. Your head is severed and no ass. Like, yeah, it's big, right? It's got to be a bear. No, I don't know.
Bear or cow. Maybe it's a cow. It's just filleted open or something. It's definitely not a deer.
Frightening, whatever it is, and making me hungry. Oh, Reddit. Let's pull up one more fight. This was PFL over the weekend. Hang on. These stupid videos and Twitter. So is this, I think this is an early stoppage. You make the call. Takes a swing, hits him with the knee, and then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
That's a lot of
hits. I feel
like
that guy was going to make a comeback. I don't know.
Totally. It's terrible. He could have stopped it 10 seconds earlier.
What are you talking about, Echo?
Oh, my God. It's too much punishment.
No way. And then for good measure, the guy that just won did a one-footed backflip. I've never seen this, and pretty impressive for like how large a guy this guy is. Look at that shit.
That's pretty cool, actually.
That reminds me of like that Sage Northcutt shit. What did they say? He's 6'8", 253, and he's fucking just winging off one-footed backflips.
Super athletic guy.
Like, fuck off, that guy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Good on him. What else is happening out there?
Well, Damian Maia submitted Alex Oliveira in a return to grappling over the weekend. Did you happen to see this?
No, but that should have happened.
There you go.
Cowboy.
I think I have the finish in here, kind of. No, I don't. Why does this keep happening? Dang it. Hold on. I think it's these freaking tweet thingies. They don't. Here we go. It's back here somewhere. So they're, you know, they're doing another.
Oh, you fucking triangle on them?
Not quite. It's coming. Oh, yeah. There you go. Oh, you got it. Tapped. Yes, sir.
Nice.
Sorry, my Safari's being a bitch.
That happens.
It happens.
Well, we could stick along the submission route. And Michael Bisping, he let his son choke him out. Or really? Choke him. So I'll share this. Let's see how loud this
is. Choke me out. Hold. Go. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Don't get drooling.
Oh, I'm drooling. Whoa. Whoa. I almost went unconscious. I just drooled as well.
In
my
front of
God.
2,000 people.
Jeez Louise. Whoa. Lucas, you're a little.
Whoa. He's going to call him a bitch.
All right, Lucas, chalk me out. Hold.
Is this his kids like, is this his show or what is this?
Yeah, it must be like his podcast or something, but
that's crazy.
Mike, that's the kid's got a good squeeze on him now. Fucking
he
just went for it.
Squeeze. You can't let someone get the choke in that deep. That's just
no, good. No. Because that's just a time thing. Like how long? Yeah. It's usually about 5 seconds, depending upon how good you fucking squeeze one off on someone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What else is happening?
Mark Coleman announcing that he's 1 year sober. So here's a picture of him holding up his gratuitous socks. It says sober as fuck. So good on him.
What was he on? Did he say, or just...
I think everything.
Just all the
bad stuff. You know,
pills and booze.
He was hospitalized.
Here we go.
Hospitalized. What are you doing?
Nothing.
Hospitalized. That's not a word. So
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know if you're ready, but can I start us off with tweet of the week? I have one I found. I think it's very
funny. Go ahead. I'm almost there.
Okay. Elon Musk taking over Twitter by storm, posting earlier in the week. First order of business, I will no longer be taking the UFC's DMCA requests. Knockout clips are cool, and that is what free speech means to me.
Nice. I hope that's real. I haven't seen that one, but let's see.
At Elon Musk.
So. Well, everyone's been editing all sorts of shit. I know this one's real. We'll go right to, we'll stick along the lines of Tweet of the Week. So you said this one, too. Next, I'm buying Coca-Cola to put the cocaine back in, motherfucker. Perfect. Hell yeah, Elon.
What about Diet Coke? Is it gonna have less
you
cocaine?
Put all it like half the cocaine?
Okay.
Oh shit. I wish I could play the music to this one because someone time loved the music, but we'll share this one. I gotta make sure the music's off. Oh, sorry. This chick
oh, holy cow
fucking went for it and she got all of that. Yes, they played Somebody Once Told Me The World Was Gonna Roll Me Ain't The Sharpest Too, like that footing, it's like her footing just fucking, she lost footing so she quickly did. Here, like you see her take the swoop, boom. But she got all of it. She landed the kick. That's what it's all about. You land your kick. Shit happens. And I think I had one more. Oh, Jesus. Yeah, this is a Barstool Sports. It says the truffle shuffle has a whole new meaning. This chick is, I believe that's chocolate. I don't know. Or is it a truffle? I don't know what it is.
This chalk should be. It's weird if it's chocolate, though.
What?
Because she has like pasta in front of her. So it's kind of.
Is it truffle?
It's just truffles. Yeah, it's just truffle.
Huh.
Like I'm just.
I'm getting changing. Confused by this image of truffles. This chick just taking a facial full of truffles. Good for her.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you call those keepers back in the day. Let's do a little KO of the week. I got a couple contenders here. First one from Parts Unknown. I'm not quite sure. Probably can't play the audio, but let's see what happens. You got two guys and Giga!
Oh, man. I feel like that's going to be nasty.
Like painful. He does that.
He's got it all.
It's like a pan hitting someone in the head that like pink the way he goes down. Oh, mm-hmm. Man. He's like forward, back, forward. Brutal. That's one. And then you had the grandson of Muhammad Ali, Nico Ali Walsh. Let me pull this one up. This one I'm going to play with sound. So hopefully this will fucking play with sound. Yep.
Oh, damn.
Let's do it again. Hang on.
Jeez.
Just fucking knocks that guy dead.
One more. Quick one, two.
Yeah. Ouch.
Ouchies. Yeah, that sounds bad. Hey, guess what? I found something. I've been looking for it this entire time. Here you go. Look at that.
Hey, there we go.
I believe you and me were lifting him up.
We were. He was way shorter, and I remember he was tiptoeing. And I'm like, God damn, are you putting all your weight on us, you motherfucker?
Yeah,
look at the date on that.
I bent way over. Yeah, that's 2010. Crazy.
Yeah, and I remember Tom Segura opened for him, and Tom Segura is a fucking huge comic now. Because I remember we met both of them backstage, but they were just it was a small club, maybe 100-150 people, and they're both taking pictures. And I remember. When Tom Segura came out, I'm like, is that Joe Rogan on the stage? Like, I couldn't tell, like, because they both look semi-similar. And I remember going up to him afterwards saying, oh, that was a really funny set, man. And now he's a fucking huge comedian.
Well, we were like literally one day, you know, the tiny, like small two-topper tables at these dingy clubs. We were like one table away. Like he was literally right there.
Yeah, right on the stage almost. Yeah, it was perfect. Awesome.
Yeah.
It was a fun night.
Yeah.
We'll just leave it at that. I think that was a 4 a.m.er.
I don't remember things.
I think there was a homeless guy involved.
There was
a bar that closed at 2 that we may have stayed in for like a couple extra hours drinking. And,
yes.
Strange things are afoot in Detroit, Michigan.
Detroit.
Mm-hmm. Rock City, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of the Rock City, let's talk about Brendan Schaub. So apparently he released his second comedy special in the last week. Let's see how the first one and second one are being reviewed on the IMDb. So we'll start with his first one called I Think You'd Be Surprised, or You'd Be Surprised. He's got a 1.6 out of 10. And you got to remember back in the day, the company he was working with, some CBD company, was offering people like discounts on CBD if they gave him like a 5-star rating. So that rating should actually be lower. So that was his first special. Let's see how the second one, it just came out. Let's see how that one's doing. It's called The Gringo Poppy, released on YouTube. Wonder why. It's a 1. Solid 1.1 out of 10. God. That's weird, Ingo. And I just want to say that people are editing the cast. So they put people in a special. It's like Ariel Helwani. How did comedy go? Travis Brown as CTE uppercut.
That's awesome.
Carlos Mencia as inspiration. Theo Vaughn as Coke friend. Dana White as Eskimo brother number one. Joanna Janela as Mexican, and Bolo Young as Caitlin Lee or Caitlin Lee. So people are really dialing them up. And I want to say the review that best summed it up, I thought, was just when you thought you'd be surprised was the worst comedy special of all time. The Gringo Poppy says, "Hold my beer." I'm just saying. I watched about 20 seconds of this special because it's free on YouTube. Wow.
It's bad. He's trying. Wow. He's trying.
He might want to. I think people were saying Joe Rogan might want to have another talk with him about, like, you need to change careers because Jesus Christ. I don't like to shit on people, but it is just not good.
Yeah.
And remember how Kay Hansen got cut from the UFC and things were getting a little racier?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm just saying.
Good luck.
She's now disrespecting. I'm going to say that's whipped cream, but I'm just saying. You got to make a living, right?
Mm-hmm.
Got to make a living. What else is happening out there?
That's all I got until some knowledge.
All right, let's do a little Ask the Nuts. I believe this was posed by a female fighter. I always forget her name. I can't remember. She cut her titties off. She's in, was in the UFC.
I don't know.
Come on, Ingo. He fought Ronda Rousey and lost in dramatic fashion. She came out with like a flying knee and got armbarred.
Ew.
Her husband committed suicide.
Oh, it's right on the tip of my tongue.
I always forget her name and I fucking never write it down. Oh, Jesus Christ. Shit. You know who she is.
Yes, fuck anyways, me. Doesn't matter. Go ahead.
She's hot. So she asked these questions. She said, who is your favorite male fighter when you started watching MMA? And then the follow-up is, how about female? So your favorite male fighter when you started watching MMA and your favorite female fighter?
I would say definitely BJ Penn for me because he's crazy. So, and he was, I liked his wild style. He was fun to watch. And when I was learning about the sport, he had the two things I enjoyed watching the most, the boxing and the ground game. And I was like, yeah, this is cool. Female fighter? Man, that's a tough one. I know you're probably going to say Cyborg, aren't you? I can't say that too. Because it's not Cyborg. You know, honestly, I have to say it's probably Ronda Rousey. Just because she was entertaining and every time she fought, I was mad sometimes. Sometimes I was pumped up. Other times I was excited. And it was fun, you know? So I liked watching her a lot.
Yeah, I agree. Because I said it's Ronda Rousey when she was in Strikeforce. I'm like, Jesus Christ, this woman is beating everybody in the first round. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, first round armbar, nonsensically winning like clockwork. So I appreciated that back in the day. And then it was Hoist Gracie for me back in the day. And I was sharing a letter with our group of, I moved to California I didn't move, but I lived with my brother for a summer in California in 1994. And we were working at the Gold's Gym in Redondo Beach and fucking Hoist is on a life cycle, you know, like two life cycles away. We're both doing cardio and I'm looking at him going, Jesus Christ, I know this fucking guy can kick my ass, but he's so small compared to who I am. And I want to meet him and I know my brother knows him, but I don't want to just interrupt his workout. So I'm just going to stay the course. And then later on, I got to meet him and he gave me a tour of the facility back in 94. I'm like, Jesus Christ, signed that fucking poster that I have on my wall. I'm like, that was fucking cool as shit to get to meet him. And then train with his cousins, the Machados. Like, I did a lot of one-on-ones with them back in the day. And that's when they were teaching jiu-jitsu as a self-defense system. It wasn't fucking sport jiu-jitsu when I was learning from them. And that's what I appreciated. I'm like, I want to learn it as a self-defense. I don't want fucking sport jiu-jitsu. I don't want to learn this position, that position. I want to learn, like, this is I'm in a position and I want to fuck you up and show me that. And that's what I was taught in 1994.
A long time ago.
That was so helpful back when there was any problem because nobody knew what the fuck jiu-jitsu was back in the day. So it's like I had a cheat code to fucking street fighting. So anytime there was a problem, it was like, like, what the fuck did you just do? Like, that guy is blue in the face and he might be dead. I'm like, just he'll be all right. He'll be all right. So appreciated that. And I'd say after that was Rich Franklin, just because I don't know what it was. It was just something about him. It was a clean cut guy. And if he had a 5-round fight and you weren't a southpaw, he's going to fuck your world up. I think back to when he fought Evan Tanner and just made his face look like ground beef. I was like, holy fuck. This guy's doing work. And then thinking back, like, remember all those blogs? Just, I'm going to go off on a tangent of Evan Tanner when he was like doing all this shit and talking about before he died. And it was bullshit the way he died, but he was like on a path. Like, he was writing some really inspirational shit back in the day. If you can find that shit again, guess you check it out. And then obviously Chris Cyborg was next.
Of course.
And then who's your favorite male and female fighter to watch right now?
Rose for sure for me. I think I like watching her. And then male fighter. That's a tough one. I don't really have anyone I love at the moment. There's a few guys. I you know who I'd like to see fight is one of the Diaz brothers. I'd say I like that. I'm excited about either fight they have.
Yeah, sure.
So yeah, I'll go with that.
Yeah, for me, I'd say obviously Justin Gaethje, just because you know you're going to get a war. One way or another, he's kill or be killed, and then a Chris Cyborg. And I think I'd add Mackenzie Dern in there. No reason. No reason. She's built nice. How many years have you been a fan of MMA's?
Since I like 2009, no, seven or eight, something like that. Yeah, because you got me into it. Yeah, that was the first time I saw the UFC ever. So
yeah, I remember you asking, I'm like, what are the rules? Like, what is going on here? Like,
can he do that? Like, is that okay?
Like, you can do that.
Okay. I was like buzzing driving home. Like, that's so crazy.
Like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
That was fun. Yeah, I'd say for me, it was since UFC inception. It was 1993 watching the first one. Just going, what the fuck am I watching? This is awesome. So for me, it's 29 years, like, which is ridiculous. Name a fighter you didn't think would become UFC champion, but did.
Oh, man.
Well, the easy one, I'll go, is Juliana Pena. Like, she fought Amanda Nunes. And everyone's like, especially me, I'm like, she's got no fucking chance. Zero fucking chance. And boy, she was right, and I was 100% wrong on that one.
Chris Weidman.
I hear you.
You know, I don't know. I can't think of anything. Maybe that's the best one.
I knew he was going to win that fight. I know I picked him, too.
Did you?
Yep. I like to go back and look at, maybe I should make a clip of some of the predictions. We've been very right on some of them, like frightening right, where we've predicted round and submission and some of that
shit. It's bound to happen.
Yeah. Because I remember talking about Brock Lesnar submitting, I think it was Shane Carwin. Everyone's like, you're fucked. You are fucked in the head. I'm like, I didn't have the submission right, but I knew he was going to submit him. Mm-hmm. I know I had that right. Like, what the fuck? Have you Nostradamus? I know. I know things. I know things.
Mm-hmm.
And then let me pull this one up. This is a video question.
Oh, cool.
It's a it's a Twitter thing. So I got to adjust. I think I can play volume. So I want to know, what fight technique is this I'm witnessing here? So you got two women, but I don't know what techniques are going down, but.
What's up?
What are we doing here? We're doing like round offs and back springs or whatever the fuck these are. Like, what up, bitch? What up, bitch? Like, what? Like, she just rolls one off here.
Yeah.
But did you notice how the other girl just backed off? Because she's like, I don't know what the fuck's going on. Like, watch. She's like out of screen.
That's exciting. It's a no can defend defense.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
It's frightening. I think that's like if you pulled your pants down and just pulled your dick out during a fight and started whacking off. Like,
I think there's rules against that.
Well, there's no rules in street fighting, bro. But if you're fighting someone, he just pulls his cock out and starts stroking it. I'm very confused at the, like, what are your intentions, sir?
I'm probably gonna run.
I'm done. I'm out. Like, this can't go down right now. Nobody can go down. All right, let's go. Let's talk about some knowledge. What do you have for knowledge?
Oh, yeah. Here you go. I have a little video. You may not like it, but this is what peak athleticism looks like.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Check it out.
This is amazing to me.
I don't understand how this guy can do this.
Well, I think I have a concept. I think he was skinny, and then he put on a lot of weight.
Like,
so he probably pounds? He's probably, well, I'm going to say he's probably dived his whole life, right? And then he put on, he's got to be a good 300 right here. I'm surprised the board is holding him without breaking, but impressive. Oh, you're under rotated on that.
Last one. Here you go.
Where's the fulcrum? He's got the fulcrum all the way up. It's all about the fulcrum and diving, Ingo.
Yeah, I'm impressed. That's a large human being doing things that I didn't think large human beings could do. I don't understand how the board just doesn't go.
Well, I've seen the board go.
You have?
I don't remember when. Yeah, because he had the fulcrum all the way up. You got to adjust that for whatever dive you're doing. But he's just like, I'm going all the way up, and maybe there's less chance for it breaking all the way up. I don't remember the dynamics of that, but yeah. I always wanted to dive. I was on the swim team in high school, and then I would always show up to swim practice early so I could practice with the divers, because this is a free-for-all. There's no coaches. You have the pool to yourself. I'm like, show me some shit so I can learn. So I'd be on like the regular dive and then go up to high dive and do shit. And I always wanted to dive, like, just let me do it once. And the coaches always fucking hated me. The head coach was a fucking hall monitor, so he's a douchebag. So that tells you the level of skill of him and his coaching. And even the one meet or short a diver, I'm like, I can do the dives. Just put me in. We'll score points. He hated me so much, he didn't even put me in. And because I don't know why he had a hard on against me, probably because I got in a fight in high school and he was the one that ended up breaking it up because I beat the fuck out of someone. But anyway, I always got put into the worst events, because normally I think it was you could swim three events and a relay, whatever it was. But they would put me in events for exhibition because they didn't appreciate my hard work. So I'd be swimming like an exhibition 200 IM, an exhibition 500 free, along with like my regular events. So 50 breast in the relay, 100 breast, and whatever else, maybe 100 free or some other bullshit. And then you put me in a 500 free or a 200 IM as exhibition. Hey, Coach Lowy, go fuck yourself, you fucking dickhead. Don't you have a hall to monitor somewhere? I'm assuming you're dead right now. I'm just saying that.
Yikes. But
you're monitoring halls in hell right now. So enjoy your stay.
Good Lord.
Anyway, don't put that hate on anybody, Ingo. That's not right. So here's another good one. I don't know what you call this, but maybe the scorpion.
Oh my God, it looks like it hurt.
Oh, my back is hurting so hard. There's a chick trying to do another.
Ow, that looks very painful.
Dead. She's your chiropractor's best friend. Let's stop this, hang on. It's always a foot slip, right? Oh! Oh! Man. And I'm gonna guess unconscious and kind of like the way she ended up right there. I'm just saying.
Oh boy. Okay. On that note.
Probably end the podcast. Keep it clean.
I think this one has been a marathon of epic proportions, Matt.
Seriously, there's a lot of shit went down. I'm not quite sure what happened.
We'll sort it out
in the morning.
We will. That has been this week's edition of MMA Nuts. My name is Ingo Weigold.
Matt Griffith. Thanks for playing.